Well, Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 25 and read to the end of the chapter. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I love the church, and I have and will receive much more than I will ever be able to give. Because, and you've heard me say this many times, I found eternal life at the church. I found the love of my life at the church. I found my life's work at the church. The church has been so very good to me. Soon after I was saved, my pastor told me, "You need to be baptized, Kim." And I was baptized. I received a good start of obedience because he explained to me that baptism was a step of obedience to Christ. And if you want to be obedient to him, you need to do that. And so I was baptized. And then he set me straight on the Lord's Supper. How reverent that supper should be, how sacred that supper should be, and how we were to behave ourselves at the Lord's Supper. I received a good start. There are certain truths that we must be committed to remain a New Testament church. They are unalterable, they cannot be compromised, and they are non-negotiable. And I want us to take a look at just a few of them tonight. First of all, if this church is going to remain a New Testament committed church, we have to have a high view of God. It is absolutely essential that this church perceive itself as an institution for the glory of God and not for the glory of God. Of man. Most churches in America have as their goal to make men feel better about themselves. That's not what this church is all about. I have a righteous anger toward anyone who takes God off his throne and changes him into just a good buddy. The Bible says that he is to be high and lifted up in the church. Certainly we understand that people are irreverent today. Worship is more than a warm feeling inside. Worship is something we do and something that changes us for the better. I want you to go with me to Psalms 107. Psalms 107. Let's begin reading in verse 21. Psalms 107, verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Let other groups and other churches paddle around in their own little philosophical puddles, but let it be said of us, the Church of the Living God, that we went down to the sea in great ships and did our business there. And that's what this service is all about, ladies and gentlemen. Second, the absolute authority of Scripture. That book that lies in your lap this evening is our sole rule of faith and practice. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, the Lord says this, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And when you come here, you ought to be able to expect we're going to take a look at this book. In Proverbs chapter 30, the Bible says, "Every word of God is pure." Now I want you to go with me to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. And look at verse 12. Job 23:12. "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food." I wish each one of us could say that and mean that in our hearts, that we esteem the words of the Bible more than our necessary food. It's the Word of God that helps us grow. It's the Word of God that increases our faith. It is to be read. It is to be studied. It is to be memorized. It is to be believed. And ladies and gentlemen, it is to be lived. We are living letters known and read of all men. Third, sound doctrine. The teaching of God's Word constitutes sound doctrine. We must principalize the Bible. We need to have the truths about God and life and death and heaven and hell and man and sin and Christ and the Holy Spirit and angels taught and understood in this church. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And look at verse 16. Paul tells this young man, he says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine that has been delivered to you. And that's what we're talking about. And then next is personal holiness. We are all victimized by an absolutely unholy society, and it's getting worse. It frightens me when I think of the philosophical and immoral filth that our society creates and embraces and tries to pass off as normal. And the church has not been spared. Christians are called to a pure life. And folks, we absolutely cannot compromise that. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And look at verse 1. And folks, the Bible is full of scriptures just like this one. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. A person's prayer life cultivates holiness. Bible reading cultivates holiness. In Psalms 119, David will say, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then in verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Folks, that's up to us. We are to assist each other in personal holiness. And last of all, there is to be spiritual authority in the church. Christ, of course, is the head of the church, but he mediates his rule in the church through pastors and deacons, and they have authority in the church. Many scriptures about that, but let's just go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And look at verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their lifestyle. Now look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Because if I have to stand before God someday and your name comes up and I have to consider that with grief, the Bible says that is unprofitable for you. Okay? That's what the Word says. So let me close with this. Hell is still hot. Heaven is still beautiful. Salvation is still free. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we are of all men most joyous. Let's pray. Father, we do want to be a church that is committed to your glory. We want to be a church that retains the old Bible distinctives that used to be in most churches, but not anymore. Oh, Father, forgive us. Forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us when we think that we might depart from the doctrines that we have been taught. Dear Father, help us to understand that we would hurt your heart so deeply if we ever did. So help us to stay on track. Help us to live according to holiness before you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.